Good evening. I'll call this city council meeting to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Present.
Dr. Enix.
Present.
Ms. Quiatek.
Present.
Ms. Leon.
Present.
Dr. Van Wert.
Present.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Present.
Mr. Cologne.
Mr. Cologne will not be physically present this evening, but he may join us remotely. I call for a motion for approval of the minutes of December 6, 2022. Minutes are approved. We'll start with public comment. As a YouTube reminder, if you start this meeting after 7 p.m.
We had a motion that we needed to vote.
To accept the minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. We have a motion to accept the minutes. Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
Dr. Enix.
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Leon.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Minutes are approved, 6-0. A YouTube reminder, if you start this meeting after 7 p.m., please make sure to scroll ahead so that the YouTube stream is current rather than a recording of an earlier portion of the meeting. If you signed up to speak during the first public comment period on items not being voted on tonight, I will call you up to the podium in the order in which you signed up. We will now start public comment on any subject not being voted on this evening with a 5-minute time limit. And we do have people who have signed up. So we will start with Scott Singerlin. And if you could state your name and address, please.
Good evening, everyone. Happy holidays. My name is Scott Singerland with CAT, Coalition for Appropriate Transportation, 1935 West Broad Street, Bethlehem. I'm here to introduce you all to our recently released report entitled Bethlehem, the Biking City. I believe that a copy was sent out in your packets. That's great. And some color, too, so some photos in there. The report covers a series of community forums that were held in September through November. And by the way, the report is also available to the public on our website, lvcat.org. The report was a collaboration of CAT, Sierra Club of Lehigh Valley, and the City of Bethlehem EAC. But truly, the report is a collaboration, a collection of thoughts and ideas offered by over 70 members of the public who attended these sessions at the Ice House, Linfield Terrace, and Pembroke Neighborhood Boys and Girls Club. The report is pretty much a raw format of people's ideas. It's not intended to be a big production, but we wanted to get public input and get it down so that it's an actual document that can support the city's efforts as well. So it includes positive and, shall we say, constructive feedback, you know, things that people like that's going on and what people want to see more of, as well as ideas and encouragement for changes that can move the city forward. The report had structured questions that covered both health, economic, and also climate change benefits for the city and residents. with the big picture being that Bethlehem, I believe Bethlehem could be a great biking city for bicycling. It could be a great city to walk and roll a wheelchair. It could be a great city to ride public transit, especially as the geographic center of the Lehigh Valley for Atlanta Bus. And in all these areas, we should celebrate what we have, but we need to also recognize where improvements can be made. And realizing that the city and Public Works has a lot of improvements you're looking at, we want to support the city's work and with this report. And a lot of overlap in the ideas between the Broad Street Plan from 2021 to improve conditions for pedestrians, bicyclists, and even just residents, businesses, and visitors, people come to Bethlehem on Broad Street. And we want to see changes implemented to improve the traffic situation, encourage traffic calming to lower motor vehicle speeds. The second one would be the Bethlehem Connects Trail study from 2016, going back a couple years. But that looked at really connecting the South Bethlehem Greenway with Hellertown and the Saucon Rail Trail, and even the railroad bed from the Monocacy Way going west to, I know west is that way, going to Pennsylvania Avenue, which is like a 2-mile stretch, which really would be a great corridor, especially since off-street trails are universally enjoyable when they connect the dots for people to get from home to work and places where they enjoy. A couple more really supportive documents, the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission's Walk Roll LV plan from 2020 has many great ideas for City of Bethlehem. And the City of Bethlehem's Vision Zero plan, which hopefully everybody's aware, was just, I know in the city you're aware, it was just recently updated, which is a product of the Health Bureau and SeaTac, Citizens Transportation Advisory Committee. But really looking at traffic safety, education, and outreach, that traffic deaths and injuries are preventable, and that 25 miles an hour is enough is enough speed in neighborhoods and in downtowns, and speed limits should be enforced for the benefit of everyone. And with regard to speeding, we're not talking about bad people, we're talking about saving 30 seconds in traffic. It's never worth the hurry for the victims. So the good and the bad. And lastly, the climate action plan that the city has championed, looking at greenhouse gas emissions by motor vehicles and land use of impervious surfaces for parking lots and wider roads, makes it pretty stinking hot in the summer and less flood tolerant. And if we had more green space, life would be more enjoyable for everyone. So thank you, and I'll just close saying Kat believes that biking is a key piece in solving so many issues in the big picture: housing, food, and transportation. Maybe there's other big ones, education and things, but really we're looking at transportation as a key component for quality of life, and we want to make transportation sustainable, affordable, and enjoyable with more bicycling. And please read the report, and we hope some of the ideas are helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Singleton, for that report. Next we have Alish Hertz.
Hello, I'm Alex Hirsch. I live at 738 Center Street. Just a quick update. I have to update my daily count just because I've started, so now I got to keep going. 158 days is what I'm up to. I think you guys all know what I'm seeking, so I'll just kind of leave it at that and say that I'm optimistic that we'll come to a resolution next year. On that note, I just want to take a moment to thank City Council for their service to the community. I know your compensation is tremendous financially, so you've got that going for you too. But honestly, it can often be a thankless job, and it's great that you guys are here and doing that job for the city, whether or not most of the citizens kind of even have an awareness of your efforts most times. Similarly, for the city employees and administration also. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Mr. Hirsch.
Also, just real quick, the other place, Rhode Island, many of the residential streets are all 25 miles an hour. I didn't realize that was a new thing here that you're considering, and it's tremendous. The quality of life impact is great. Even just pulling out into traffic from a side street is so much better.
Next we have Doug Royston.
Hello, I'm Doug Royston, 421 Second Avenue. And our report that Scott just described, Biking City Report, is really a response to a lot of great work the city's already done. In fact, the city has kind of created the foundation for this report to be accomplished with the Climate Action Plan, with the Broad Street Study, Monocacy Way, and of course the pedestrian bridge study, feasibility study that's has just gone through. And as a result, there is this very plausible, if not completely clear, but plausible picture of a biking, a European-like biking city that can be had in this town of Bethlehem in the future. The pieces are there. And we are at that point. However, and one of the reasons why I got involved in this is because I think that we're at a point where we're going to be starting to want to make some decisions about some of the things that we've studied. And I think that basically my position is that I'm afraid that we will make decisions prematurely. And I have two basic areas of concern. I don't want to call it concern. It's two areas that I think are very important. The first one is what I call the bridge as a key component of any inner city, safe, practical biking and walking infrastructure. The pedestrian bridge would be the core catalyst of that. And I want to make a very clear statement about the bridge after all these years. We had a beautiful study of the bridge, but in general, it was this bridge. It was this bridge that went across the Lehigh River. And not too far, I'm much more interested in what I call the whole bridge. And the whole bridge starts at Ilix Mill and it ends in Saucon Valley and is connected by an amazing piece of land, a corridor that goes through the center of the city of Bethlehem. It's a green corridor, and I think it's very much a part of the future of Bethlehem to have a green corridor go uninterrupted pretty much through the city of Bethlehem. So the first thing I would like to say is I'm interested in a study that ask questions about the whole bridge, all of the various things that are connected with this green corridor. The second thing is, in the center of this city, we have a place called Sand Island, and right across, connecting Sand Island, where the bridge would go to an amazing phenomenon, it's called Webster Street Landing, and after 250 years, it sits there, allowing us to go from Sand Island there, and then First Street that runs up to Arts Quest. This is such a potential for a pedestrian hub sitting there that the city already owns. It just seems like you have this long corridor, but in the center, here's this pedestrian hub. Okay, I consider these to be platforms of the local culture. And when you create a platform, it allows for the real prize in all this. And that is a biking culture, biking and walking culture. Can these things combine to create a true, substantial group of people who are part of the biking culture? Second thing I wanted to talk about real quickly, and I'll say it as fast as I can because I only have so much time. It has to do with, of course, there are all the amenities that we know, tourism and recreation, everything else. But I'm most interested in this thing, this thing that everybody in this council is so concerned with. It's called affordable housing. And I want to match, and I want to show that there's a tremendous relationship between affordable housing and affordable transportation. Affordable transportation means if you are a two-car family, you could be a one-car family. If you are a one-car person, you can get rid of your car. That's another form of the city's economy that I hope that by studying all of these aspects of a biking city, that those things would be understood from a higher level, because those benefits are not that easy to contain, and I would hope that the city would be ready to continue this study so that it really grasps all of the different pieces that this could mean. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mr. Royston. Next, we have Lindsay Clifton.
Reverend Lindsay Altvater Clifton, 833 Belmont Street, Associate Pastor of Formation and Justice at First Presbyterian Church in Bethlehem. I'm here before you tonight wearing two different hats. The first is as a clergy member of the Bethlehem Interfaith Group, so I'll start with that before I transition to taking that hat off and putting on the hat of just being a citizen of Bethlehem and a faith leader in the community. On behalf of the Bethlehem Interfaith Group, I have tonight a statement to share in response to recent anti-Semitic events. This public statement has now gone out on Bethlehem Interfaith Group's Facebook page and is being shared with some of our local press as we speak as well. The evening of December 18th began the Jewish holiday of Hanukkah, during which Jews around the world commemorate an important milestone in the history of ancient Israel. Also known as the Festival of Lights, Hanukkah should be a time of joy and celebration. But this year, as has been increasingly the case over the past few years, Jews will celebrate Hanukkah in the face of a rising tide of anti-Semitism, as demonstrated most recently not only by remarks made at the previous city council meeting, but also by what happened just this week at Chris Kendall Market. The leadership of ArtsQuest, as well as the mayors of Allentown, Bethlehem, and Easton, promptly responded, repudiating anti-Semitism in any form while affirming the diversity of our communities. The Bethlehem Interfaith Group, comprised of faith leaders from Jewish, Christian, and Muslim traditions, adds our strong condemnation of anti-Semitism and our affirmation that a strong society is built upon mutual respect among citizens of various backgrounds. Treating others as we ourselves wish to be treated is a value shared by all three of our religious traditions and draws us together as people of faith. As residents of Bethlehem and faith leaders in the community, we say with one voice, Bethlehem is no home for hate. The statement is signed by 25 or so of us interfaith clergy members who are active in the life of Bethlehem Interfaith Group. Now, as an individual citizen and a local faith leader, I renounce and condemn anti-Semitism, white supremacy, and Christian nationalism. All of these ideologies are entirely counter to Christian faith and inconsistent with true American values. I affirm religious freedom and separation of church and state as vital to American democracy and integral to our community's own flourishing. I lament that this holiday season has for our Jewish neighbors begun with such darkness, and I applaud their resilience in the face of such hate. Bearing witness to their still shining light is a beacon of love and inspiration for all of us. I celebrate interfaith relationships that call us to solidarity whenever siblings from other religious traditions are faced with hatred. I will continue to strive for a posture of humility and openness to learn from kindred spirits, who know the divine by other names. I give thanks for the spirit of unity in this city that gathers neighbors together in Peiro Plaza anytime there is a need to seek justice, love kindness, and walk humbly together in the face of systems of oppression or threats of violence. Finally, I hope that this council's work will continue to support the common good and to deepen our city's commitment to offering an expansive welcome and cultivating a place where all people might flourish. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan. Next, we have Artie Coratola.
This is late work.
Button on the base.
There should be a button on the bottom.
Oh, thank you very much. Then there was light. I'm Marty Curatola, 813 Lawford Street in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I was inspired to make this public by my good friend Joseph Rasbode, who is ancestry is Jewish. I hope this will be the last time that I have to clarify things so that I won't be breaking the thin skin of some individuals, because there are way more important issues to be brought out to make our city a great example for other cities. People can reflect upon what I said if they wish to speak with me after this meeting. When someone tells me that they feel insulted when people mention the name of Jesus Christ because they're another religion, I feel insulted for all of us Christians who live in the city that was named after the city that Jesus Christ was born in. Also, the city was reinforced, bringing Christ to light by calling it the Christmas City. By doing this, we gain a lot of profit by using his name, Christ Kindlemart, for one example. Also, people from other countries pick out Bethlehem as a place to settle in the U.S. because they feel that it's a respectable town because it was named after the city that Christ was born in. And it's called the Christmas City. I spoke to many people from other countries who would state this fact to be true. As for my mentioning at the last meeting that there will most likely never be an Italian or Jewish president, my ancestry's Italian, and I and relations of mine have worked very productively with many people in the past who were Jewish, and we continue to today, as well as work with people of all races. I hope that I'm wrong, that we're not living in a racist country, as I brought out that many of our ex-presidents were Irish. 23 of the 46 are Irish heritage, that's 50% to be exact. But not one Italian, Jew, Mexican, Puerto Rican, American, Indian, Oriental, or Mideastern. Even Obama had Irish roots, not just black or blonde. Also, the U.S. Constitution famously prohibits any religious test or requirements for public office. Still, almost all of the nation's presidents have been Christians, and many have been Episcopalians or Presbyterians, and most of the rest belonging to other prominent Protestant denominations. JFK and Biden were, however, the only two presidents that were Catholic, but they both were Irish and went faithfully to Mass regularly and openly, made it very well known that they were strong Christians. Much has been written about President Joe Biden's Catholic faith. He often speaks of his religious convictions and quotes the Bible. He even gives quotes from the Bible in his speeches. So much for separation of church and state. I served in the military for this country with people of all races and religions in 1968 so that people can grow and prosper in a land that's free with equal opportunity to live, no matter of race, color, or creed. I did not run from the draft, but but yet some individuals are insulted by me expressing my freedom of speech. When I stated that there was never a great female Jewish leader, was I wrong? Look in the Old Testament. All the Jewish leaders were men. In the Old Testament, women were not supposed to do the work of men. A man was to be completely providing his woman and his children, his woman who was supposed to be behind him. Jesus did not make that law, and Jesus did not break that law. So we should not be condemning Jesus or feel bad about him. We broke the Jewish law of God in the United States by giving women equal rights. I did not say that women can't be great leaders. Queen Elizabeth of England, who just passed on, I believe did a very great job throughout the years. I believe, all in all, women are more compassionate than men. I truly believe that if Eleanor Roosevelt would have run for the presidency back in the day, she would have been one of our greatest presidents. When Hillary went political to run for president in 2008, I was behind her 100%. I truly believe that between her and Bill, she was the brains of the duo. And when I met her in Washington, D.C. in 1973, and she liked my views and my music, if I played my cards right, I could have stole her away from Bill, and I could have been president instead of Bill. I could have been Mr. Hillary, who knows? But then again, maybe not, because my ancestry's Italian. Some believe that us Italians are all connected to the mob, and all people in the Middle East are related or connected to the Quaita or the terrorists. And all Jewish people have ancestors who pushed for crucifying Jesus. There's so much prejudice that we've got to get rid of. Whether you're a male or a female or whatever you consider your gender to be, you're going to find out in this world that very few people will completely agree with you on everything. If you only work with the few who agree with you on everything and the ones who are afraid to openly speak with you and exercise their freedom of speech, you're not going to go as far in life as you can.
Excuse me, Mr. Curatola, your time is up. Can you summarize very quickly?
Your time is already up. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
Another 5 seconds, but you need to summarize.
Okay, well, I guess I can't finish it. I had a few more sentences, but that's okay. You all have a happy, healthy, prosperous New Year, and or Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, whatever the case may be. God bless you all.
Next we have Janine Santoro.
Good evening, my name is Janine Santoro, 888 Greystone Circle, Northampton, Pennsylvania. So I actually stand up here knowing that I wanted to say this 4 weeks ago after that first round of public comments, but after the last city council meeting and now after the hate speech at Chris Kindlemar and our most recent comments, I only regret that I waited until now. So I'm not speaking just as the Director of Equity and Inclusion for the city, which most of you might know me as serving in this capacity. But tonight I'm really just saying this, as Reverend Lindsay has stated, with two hats on. I'm just saying this as Janine, as a wife, a mother, an elder in the Presbyterian Church, someone of Puerto Rican, French, and German descent. 2 weeks ago we heard in the space, and really just now, comments that were justified by a few as harmless, or simply just freedom of speech. But unfortunately, freedom of speech does not mean freedom from consequences. The Christian nationalist rhetoric that we've heard this evening and previous evenings endorses the very false and dangerous idea that solely Christians, mainly white Christians, should hold and continue to hold power and get to determine the dominant narrative of the city, which can only happen if it stifles and extinguishes opportunities and voices of those who are not white and Christian. However, while our community laments this kind of monolithic, anti-Semitic, and anti-communal thinking, and while some people have trouble identifying non-Christian, non-white leaders who make a difference, I wanted to take a couple minutes to focus on the hope and the light that is present continuously in our community members and our elected officials that show up time and time again whenever there's moments of communal pain and strife in the city. I'm thinking of Mayor Reynolds, his presence at the Jewish Community Center in Allentown last Sunday, and last night here at Peiro Plaza standing with Rabbi Halperin on what was the most joyous night of lighting the Hanukkah and proclaiming that the city of Bethlehem stands against anti-Semitism. I'm thinking of members of our Bethlehem Advisory Board, which include Bethlehem's NAACP Chapter President Esther Lee, City Council Member Grace Cramsey Smith, State Representative Steve Samuelson, members of various religious faith communities, such as Pastor Lindsay, who spoke tonight, Rabbi Sol Levy, Rabbi Michael Singer, and many others, and members of our school district. This group has created the No Home for Hate petition. They've led marches for racial justice and peace and continuously have important conversations around affordable housing, homelessness, public safety, and various other community-centered initiatives that severely impact our historically minoritized residents. I'm thinking of my colleagues in City Hall through the Health Bureau and the police who are working with our office to create a mechanism through the My Bethlehem app that will allow anyone to report incidences of bias and discrimination in a precise and a timely fashion. I'm thinking of Rabbi Michael Singer from Congregation Brit Shalom, who shares the story of his synagogue on an episode of the Bethlehem Corner, where he comments on the history, the congregation's rich contributions to Bethlehem, and the resiliency that unfortunately was necessary to survive through a time when Bethlehem was not the most hospitable or inclusive. And finally, I'm thinking of all of you on City Council who came to your positions to do the most good, to serve and represent the people in Bethlehem. I want you to know that we see you and we stand with you. You represent a hope not just for the people here and now, but a hope from many of our ancestors who in their time, in this country and in this city, had to hide who they were for survival. I'm thinking of those who lost the origins of their faith identities because they had to assimilate to become Christian, or for those that had to pass as white or change their last names. Remember that you are their dream come true. As DEI consultant and one of my mentors, Guillermo Lopez, would say, you are everything your ancestors wanted you to be. Not only that, but you're showing our children that they too can be in positions of power and can make true systemic changes in the fullness of their identity. For the wider audience at home, I'd like to give an invitation. An invitation to know your neighbor. An invitation to engage in constructive, respectful dialogue with those that are different from you. An invitation to participate in our authorities, our boards, and commissions of the city to reach communal solutions that can reduce harm and make our city great. And this is an invitation, a collective call to be together and work together and thrive together as a beloved community. Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you, Mrs. Santoro. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak on a subject not being voted on this evening? I'll go to the left.
Lynn Rothman, 870 Wofford Lane. I really had not come prepared to make remarks tonight, but I just want to, as a Jewish resident of the city of Bethlehem, I want to thank the Reverend and Ms. Santoro for their remarks. I was at the candle lighting last night and appreciate Mayor Reynolds signing the proclamation and his support and the support of City Council to continue with the separation of church and state, which despite some earlier comments, I believe is very important to our country. And certainly I do not take offense, as mentioned before, of the city being named after Jesus or being Bethlehem. However, I believe that everybody has a right to their own beliefs, and our country was founded on the separation and inclusion of that. And I also kind of want to apologize. I believe referring to City Council as a few hens in the barnyard was not respectful to our members of council who work so hard and do so much for our great city. So thank you very much, and Happy New Year to all.
Thank you. Is there anyone else on the left that would like to comment on any subject not being voted on this evening? Is there anyone in the middle that would like to comment on anything not voted on this evening?
Bill Shire, 1898 Avenue. To quote Monty Python, now for something entirely different. Let me give you my proposal first. And it's pretty far out, but maybe it'll happen someday. It should happen, I think. I'm referring to sculptures in public space, or which involve public money or public permit, And this is something I've felt for a long time, but it was brought back to my mind with the recent unveiling of the sculpture at East 3rd Street in Founders Way. Not that my taste should matter on this, but I respect the sculptor who has a vision. I respect the people who approve it. I would like to know who they were, just out of curiosity, but I respect their vision. Mine is different. To be blunt, it's the second ugliest sculpture I have ever seen in my life. The problem is, we all have to look at it. So my proposal is quite simple, that any sculpture in public space using public money or requiring a public permit be subject to a referendum. A sketch would be prepared and the body politic could vote on it. And I don't know, maybe it would have been approved. But to me, it reminds me of a 1950s movie called The Blob, Run for Your Lives. It's not that I'm against abstract art. I kind of like the thing right outside here, although it does have two flaws. It purports to show the three boroughs coming together, and it omits the fourth borough, which was Northampton Heights, but I still kind of like it. And it does start diverging at the top. I mentioned this once at the mayor's task force on the zoning ordinance, and Charlie Schmiel accused me of having too much time on my hands. But it's, I kind of like it. But, you know, my feelings on this are really irrelevant, but I do think that we should change the situation where a very small group of people decide what we all have to look at. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the middle that would like to comment?
Stephen and Talix, Sanderson Ridge. I've been reflecting on what's been said currently in previous meetings, and I'm disturbed by this. Because the public comment agenda items is on any subject, and any is a broad term. And I've used that vehicle to ask questions, which to me would are focused toward the welfare of the city. And ad nauseum, I've raised the question as to why a qualified person is not being appointed to a historic board. Reappointed, rather. And I've gotten a number of emails and comments from citizens who want an answer, because it affects the welfare of the city. And this might be classified as badgering or whatever you want to call it. But apparently, from a reliable source who is well connected to this council, told me privately upon a chance meeting that I was a troublemaker according to the people on council. Thank you. Well, if that's the case, I'll continue to be in trouble. But in the process, I'll become persona non grata, because since then, a number of council members have ceased to answer my emails. That's okay. I've been called a troublemaker at school board meetings with the old group. But with the new group, with change, when I walked in after COVID, I was applauded. With Bethany Authority, I was a troublemaker. But I raised issues about lost timber and financial policies. With a change in their structure, recently I missed a meeting and was asked where was I, because they missed my questions. But here I'm a troublemaker. So, the morning call calls me a gadfly, which is defined as a annoying person who tries to provoke people out of their apathy. So I guess I'm trying to provoke council out of their apathy to give us an answer why we are not getting reappointments of people who are well qualified. So be prepared next meeting to hear it again. So thank you for your title. I'll have it engraved in gold and put it on my desk.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the middle who would like to comment on any item not being voted on this evening? Is there anyone on the right that would like to comment on any item not being voted on? We will now move to public comment on ordinances and resolutions to be voted on this evening. There is no one signed up. Is there anyone on the left that would like to have public comment on anything being voted on this evening? Anyone in the middle that would like to have public comment? Mr. Antonelli.
Looking at the agenda, 7B1, the appointment of Sharon Zundar. I can personally reflect on this person. I have observed her at the Bethlehem Authority meetings and have never seen more dedicated, qualified individual. So I strongly recommend you approve her. Not only approve her, but add a gold medal. But also, I've noticed appointments to the various commissions and boards, for instance, there are lists of names who are to be appointed. And these commissions and boards are an advisory position, but I rarely see an appointment to historic boards. And that board probably has more effect upon city than other boards and commissions. And it's been said that since the mayor appoints, neither council or the administration controls these boards. And control of these boards can be made by appointments of people who will follow the policy of the administration. So historic preservation can smack in the face of development. So apparently, candidates who are well qualified and would preserve historic preservation are not being appointed because they may affect the development in the city. Is there a cozy relationship between developers and the city? I don't know. But we're not getting these people appointed. But Sharon is a great person, so I strongly recommend you give her 100% of the vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the middle that would like to comment on any item being voted on this evening? Is there anyone to the right that would like to comment on any item being voted on this evening? Our public comment section is over. We will go to old business. Is there any old business from members of council? Communications. Clerk, if you could read communication 6A.
A memorandum dated December 13, 2022 with an attached resolution from City Solicitor John F. Burke Jr. Memorandum revised that Act 57 of 2022 amended the local tax collection law by directing the tax collector to waive additional charges for real estate taxes in certain qualifying situations as defined by the Act. The Act requires municipalities that levy a real estate property tax to adopt a resolution or ordinance directing their tax collector to implement the Act's provisions for the tax years beginning on or after January 1st, 2023.
Resolution 10A is on the agenda. Communication 6B.
Memorandum dated December 14, 2022 with an attached resolution and associated assignment and assumption agreement from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. Assignment and assumption agreement from Bethlehem Authority currently contracts with Utility Services Company Incorporated for maintenance services for 3 water storage tanks. The City and Bethlehem Authority desire to have those contracts assigned to the city as the operator of the system.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda. Communication 6C.
Memorandum dated December 8, 2022 with an attached resolution from Eric R. Evans, Business Administrator, recommending a transfer in the general fund budget. A total of $215,000 would be transferred from 19 specified accounts into 3 accounts, fire salaries, fire overtime, and EMS overtime. It was noted that the number of fire personnel was to be reduced through the attrition of 4 positions, which has now occurred. As for fire and EMS overtime, this was attributed to a variety of factors, including mandatory quarantines caused by the Omicron variant of COVID-19 for both fire and EMS personnel, an increase in sick days for firefighters, and a shortage of part-time paramedics requiring overtime coverage by full-time paramedics. It was additionally noted that the sources of funds to be transferred came from payroll accounts that are realizing savings due to vacancies that are the result of the national labor shortage.
Resolution 10C is on the agenda. Communication 6D.
A memorandum dated December 15, 2022, with an attached resolution from Lenny Lazarchek, Director of Budget and Finance, recommending a transfer in the general fund budget. A total of $500,000 would be transferred from 11 specified accounts into account 0801-42085, medical insurance. It is noted that the city remains under the $7.8 million budgeted for this line item. The final weekly medical bills will arrive this week. Ms. Lazarchek recommends the budget transfer in case the money is necessary.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda. Reports. President of Council. Mr. Clone, I don't believe you have any reports this evening. Is that correct? We'll go to the Mayor's report.
Thank you. I have one administrative order. I hereby appoint Sharon Zondag, 134 Pine Top Trail, Bethlehem, PA 18017 to the Bethlehem Authority, and this appointment is effective through January 2028.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
The administrative order for Sharon Zondag, Bethlehem Authority, the resolution to confirm is sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Leone. Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Bramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
He's speaking, but we still can't hear him.
Yeah, we can't hear him. He said aye. Okay, it passes 7-0. Ordinance for final...
Oh, I still have
that. Forward.
I just wanted to add to some of the comments from both Ms. Santora and Reverend Clifton in particular. And I know Reverend Clifton is particularly busy, but I wanted to thank her and the Interfaith Group for their statement there in anti-Semitism. I also wanted to thank Ms. Santora for her words, which I know were are very apt for the moment and accurate. I think it's been a tough last week or two for a lot of people here in the city. I had spent most of Saturday at Brith Shalom, and I spent time yesterday at the Jewish, on Sunday at Jewish Community Center. Obviously, our community came out yesterday to light the menorah there. And I think that one of the things that has come up in many places is obviously, you know, what should our city do about the fact that we are not immune from the rest of the country and seeing rising anti-Semitism. And it is something that we obviously look at. What can we do in the short term as far as providing safety and security and support and taking action where we can? And then over the longer term, also building the type of city that supports everyone, no matter their faith, no matter who they love, no matter who they want to be. And I think it's very important, and Ms. Santora touched on this, is that as we look at our city that we're living in, it's just like America, that nobody has a monopoly on the identity of who we are. And Bethlehem's history is like the rest of America's history. There is a lot that we should be very, very, very proud of. And there are other things, including things that are happening now, that obviously we are not only not proud of, but that we find distasteful and abhorrent. And we need to be honest about those things as far as our history is concerned. Our history is not 100% pure. It is not free from what has gone on throughout America. There's nothing to be embarrassed by that as far as we are concerned here in 2022. But the mission for us is to build a city where we support people for who they want to be. And whatever they decide to do with faith or not have faith, that is up to them. And for 200 and almost 50 years, people in this country have been standing up and walking out and sitting down to protest injustice. And I know the majority of the people in this city feel that way, that we are a city where we will be vigilant, we will be loud, we will celebrate who we are, and we aren't afraid of those conversations. And as Janine always says beautifully, is that we can be and both. We can both recognize our history and also build the type of community, like across America, a multicultural, diverse America where everyone is valued. And that is not something that we have everything figured out for about exactly how we're going to do that. But I know that every day that we show up, as with the people in City Council and most of the people in this room, that is the goal that they're working towards. And that's the goal that we have. It is the stories that we've tried to tell more and more of in 2022. Not without people reaching out, asking us why we're telling those stories, but we're going to do even more of that in 2023. And it is important for us to recognize that there is a lot for us to be proud of about our own history, but also important things for us to learn about, for us to talk about, to not whisper about, to not be afraid of, about who is allowed to live here, who is allowed to build churches, or who is not allowed to be employed by different people here. All of that is part of our history. And we should be able to talk about all of that. And we should be able to build a city where we both value our history, but also look into the future, that we are going to be welcome and inclusionary for whoever wants to come here. And if people are going to speak anti-Semitic things, we are going to call them out. We are going to stand up. We're going to walk out if we feel like it. Because this is America, and that's what people do when they hear things that go against the fabric of what our country is all about. And we will not back down from that. And I know that everybody on City Council feels the same way. And I know that the vast, vast majority of our community does. And 2023 is going to be a year where we continue to move forward as a community. And as I said, not only celebrate who we are, but who we want to be. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move to ordinances for final passage. Ordinances 8A, adopting the 2023 general fund budget. The clerk will read Bill 28-2022.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the general fund budget for 2023. Bill 28-2022 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye. Yeah, thumbs up.
Okay. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8A, adopting the 2023 Water Fund Budget. Clerk will read Bill 29-2022.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the Water Fund Budget for 2023. Bill 29-2022 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm, Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8C, adopting the 2023 Sewer Fund Budget. The clerk will read Bill 30-2022.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the Sewer Fund Budget for 2023. Bill 30-2022 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Discussion? Clerk will call the roll, please.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8D, adopting the 2023 Golf Course Enterprise Fund Budget. The clerk will read Bill 31-2022.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the Golf Course Enterprise Fund Budget for 2023. Bill 31-2022 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8E, adopting the 2023 Liquid Fuels Fund Budget. The clerk will read Bill 32-2022.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the Liquid Fuels Fund Budget for 2023. Bill 32-2022 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8F, adopting the 2023 capital budget for non-utilities. The clerk will read Bill 33-2022.
The ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the capital budget for non-utilities for 2023. Bill 33-2022 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8G, adopting the 2023 capital budget for water utilities. The clerk will read Bill 34-2022.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the capital budget for water utilities for 2023. Bill 34-2022 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8H, adopting the 2023 capital budget for sewer utilities. The clerk will read Bill 35-2022.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the capital budget for sewer utilities for 2023. Bill 35-2022 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8I, adopting the 2023 CDBG budget. The clerk will read Bill 36-2022.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the CDBG budget for 2023. Bill 36-2022 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8J, adopting the 2023 Stormwater Fund budget. The clerk will read Bill 37-2022.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the Stormwater Fund budget for 2023. Bill 37-2022 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8K, adopting the 2023 tax rate for all city purposes. The clerk will read Bill 38-2022.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, adopting the tax rate for all city purposes for 2023. Bill 38-2022 is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8L, amend the zoning ordinance miscellaneous. The clerk will read Bill 39-2022.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the zoning ordinance of the City of Bethlehem at Part 13 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Bethlehem, miscellaneous. Bill 39-2022 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8M, amend zoning ordinance design standards. The clerk will read Bill 40-2022.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the zoning ordinance of the City of Bethlehem at Part 13 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Bethlehem Design Standards. Bill 40-2022 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. There are no new ordinances. We'll go to resolutions. Resolution 10A, Local Tax Collection Law Amendment. The clerk will read Resolution 10A.
Whereas Act 57 of 2022 requires all municipalities that levy a real estate tax to adopt a resolution or ordinance directing their tax collector to implement the Act's provisions for the tax years beginning on or after January 1st, 2023. And whereas Act 57 directs the tax collector to waive additional charges for real estate taxes in certain qualifying situations. And whereas to receive a waiver of additional charges for real estate taxes under the Act, a taxpayer must submit and satisfy all conditions outlined pursuant to Act 57. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that its tax collector is directed, pursuant to mandates of Act 57 of 2022, to waive additional charges for real estate taxes in certain qualifying situations if written notice of real estate taxes imposed was not received, and if application for waiver is made within 12 months from the following date. For the purposes of real property, the date transfer of ownership, and two, for manufactured or mobile homes, the date of transfer of ownership or the date a lease agreement commences for the original location or relocation of a manufactured or mobile home on a parcel of land not owned by the owner of the manufactured or mobile home. The term does not include the renewal or lease for the same location. This resolution is sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Passes 7-0. Resolution 10B, water tank maintenance contracts. The clerk will read Resolution 10B.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the mayor and controller, and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor, are hereby authorized to execute an assignment and assumption agreement and such other agreements and documents as are deemed necessary by the city solicitor and or related thereto between the City of Bethlehem, Bethlehem Authority, and Utility Services Company Incorporated for the purpose of assigning Bethlehem Authority's rights, titles, privileges, benefits, and interest in, and all the duties and obligations set forth in certain water tank maintenance contracts to the City of Bethlehem. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Leon.
Discussion?
I did have just a question, just for my own edification. Why do we do this? Why are we switching the... the agreement over to the city versus the authority?
Ed Boscola. The original contract goes back about 10, 12 years. I think for expediency purposes, the authority entered into the contract with a tank maintenance contractor. In the normal course of business, the authority really should not hold any operating or maintenance contracts. They are just a financing authority. They have very few employees. They have a small budget. All of the operating and maintenance responsibilities should fall to the city. So we're just basically correcting this by shifting the contract from the authority to the city. It's pretty simple, I think.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Passes 7-0. Resolution 10C, transfer of funds, fire salaries, fire EMS overtime. The clerk will read Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that $215,000 cover overages in fire salaries and fire and EMS overtime in the general fund budget be transferred as follows: $8,000 from council salaries, $5,000 from council temporary help, $500 from mayor salaries, $2,500 controller salaries, $15,000 from controller temporary help, $5,000 from law salaries, $10,000 from community and economic development administrative salaries, $25,000 from health salaries, $10,000 from code enforcement salaries, $5,000 from community development salaries, $20,000 from planning and zoning salaries, $11,000 from housing inspection salaries, $27,000 from engineering salaries, $28,000 from street salaries, $12,000 from electrical salaries, $5,000 from ground salaries, $20,000 from police salaries, $4,000 from EMS salaries and $2,000 from EMS temporary help to $69,000 fire salaries, $95,000 fire overtime, and $51,000 in EMS overtime. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? I had some questions about it because I know for the overtime, we're looking at the fire and EMS, and those were two of the departments that lost positions during COVID. And I just had a question. In 2016, we had the highest overtime rate, and I'm wondering what are the reasons why it went down then? Because it went down significantly, and then it went up again to this year, where it's the second highest rate. So just trying to get a handle on, you know, it was really high, and then it went down, so that I can get a handle on how we can get the overtime down.
If you look through the history of the different bureaus that have overtime as a line item, you'll see a lot of up and down based on number of factors. You will see in public works, overtime jumps when it comes to snow off. If you have a real wintry, a lot of snow one winter, that's going to jump up, and next one will be way down. Police and fire are a little bit different. Some of it is in regards to staffing. When you look at the police, at the fire, which we have in front of you tonight, you will see, I provided a graph that showed the correlation of sick days that move along, and when the number of sick days are going to move up, it's going to leave this staff short. It needs to be backfilled. We're not going to leave it a number that's unsafe. So in order to draw the number back up into a number that is satisfactory according to the fire leadership, that's going to cause backfilling, and that will cause overtime. So the 2016 number goes back far enough. I don't know. Gee, that's 6 years ago.
I wonder, like, did we hire more positions? Like, why did it go down so significantly? You know, it was really high and then went down. Was that because we hired additional staff?
Yeah, that was before I brought. I've been here 5 years now, but in 2016, was that before you started in this position, Chief?
Yeah, I can't speak for 2016.
Okay.
Or before. I can tell you, though, that in 2016 was the expiration of the SAFER grant, where there was additional firefighters hired under that. And that transition between Chief Novotnik and I for firefighters under that grant were reduced.
Okay. So the loss of those firefighters contributed to the overtime, I would think.
Yeah, that's true. When I came on as the fire chief, there was multiple positions open. So I believe there was an issue where Allentown didn't hold an academy right away, because it was a good year before I was able to get anybody in the academy.
Okay. All right. I was just curious because it is really high, and then it went down significantly, and now we have the second highest year. So I know there can be a need for overtime, but as I said before, I mean, I think it's really important, and when we look at the public safety positions, that we balance between overtime and hiring more positions, because my concern with overtime is there's a safety issue, you know, and morale issue. If I know my families that are public safety personnel who are mandated a lot of overtime, and I know how they're feeling, and I guess I just have concerns, and I hope that within this year we will look at that, because if we continue to have a need for significant overtime for a public safety staff, I for one will advocate that we have more positions higher, because I think there's a real risk of injury and errors when you have someone working excessive hours, especially in a public safety field. And we know, I mean, we had the unfortunate tragedy last week of losing the two firefighters in Utapoli, and all the public safety workers in this city, I greatly am thankful for, as we all are, because they go into the job every day knowing that they may not make it home alive. And I think it's just really important that we do all we can to secure their safety on a daily basis. So
I can assure you that there's only been 3 mandatory overtimes in the fire department this year. EMS, multiple, weekly.
And that's an issue.
Big difference that we're looking at.
That's an issue. So I just hope, I think,
EMS.
Yeah, I just want us to be conscious of that next year. Thank you. Is there any other discussion on Resolution 10C? Clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Passes 7-0. Resolution 10D, approved transfer of funds, general fund medical. The clerk will read Resolution 10D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that $500,000 to cover medical expenses in the general fund budget be transferred as follows. $25,000 community and economic development administrative salaries. $14,000 community and economic development administration temporary help. $50,000 health temporary help. $15,000 code enforcement temporary help. $30,000 community development temporary help. $26,000 recycling temporary help. $38,000 housing inspections temporary help. $166,000 streets salaries. $20,000 streets temporary help. $38,000 recreation temporary help. $78,000 police temporary help to medical insurance. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Quiatek and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Passes 7-0. Does anyone have any new business?
I keep me out of trouble, solicitor, if I toe the line here, but as a female, as a veteran, as a Christian, as someone who knows the story of Deborah, the call for her judgment of Tamar, call for her cunningness of Esther, call for her bravery, I'm very happy to serve with everybody up here on council.
Thank you. And I think I can say the feeling is mutual for all of us. On behalf of the City Council, we wish everyone happy holidays. My hope is that we as a community during this joyous season of multiple holidays and religious celebrations can find it in our hearts and our souls to respect and embrace our diversity as well as our commonalities. Our diversity is truly our strength and is the base upon this community, and it is who we are. We will see you back here on Tuesday, January 3rd.
So Mr. Slingerland has left. I first wanted to share that I read through the Viking City report, and I highly recommend that if folks have the opportunity to do so, that they do. This is the result of numerous forums held throughout the city. The report is accessible and thoughtful and enlightening, and I believe that you don't have to be a biker to advocate for or benefit from what we are referring to as a biking city. Again, I encourage folks to take a look at that report. I also wanted to thank Reverend Clifton, Ms. Santoro, Ms. Rothman, and Mayor Reynolds for your comments. We are at the last meeting of 2022, the end of some of our first year on council, our first year as a council, an historic council. And I just wanted to say that I am incredibly proud to serve with all of my colleagues, with the incredibly hardworking administration who sits to my right, who comes to City Hall and works throughout the city every day. The last word I would use to describe any of you is apathetic. Thank you for your service to the city, for being such hardworking, inspiring, supportive colleagues. I am so proud to work for a city, to serve a city that espouses all of the things that Mayor Reynolds described earlier this evening. Thank you, Vice President Ramsey Smith, for making time for me to say these things. Thank you.
I'm sorry that I didn't realize you wanted to speak.
That's okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Does anyone else have any comments for the last comments of 2022? Okay. This meeting is adjourned.